What are some quotes that we normally associate with dads? Dads, what do we like to say? Because we're talking about God choosing a father for his son. Anytime we have special occasions, I really like to dig into the word and figure out, all right, what's the scripture say about this subject or that? What do we normally say? Do you guys ever say, ask your mother? You ever hear that around your house? Just ask your mother. What about, I got a couple written down. Do I look like I'm made of money? I say that a lot with three daughters. I love this one because I've said it before. Hey, look, I'm not sleeping. I was watching that. You guys ever say that? What about this, guys? You're up there taking the fam down the road. No, we're not lost. No, we're not there yet. Don't make me stop this car. Those are good. Dad quotes. You can look all through the Bible for a quote from a famous father, and you're never going to find it. His name was Joseph, the earthly father or the stepdad of Jesus. Interestingly enough, you would think that we hear Joseph speak in the scripture, yet we never do. We might imagine what he said to the innkeeper as they go into the town of Bethlehem and there are no room for him and Mary, who's obviously with child. I mean, could you imagine him saying, hey, buddy, come on, can't you hook me up? Help me out. She's about to pop. Come on, bud. Well, we just never see that in the scripture. In fact, we know he did speak. We know he taught. We know he loved. But he never had a recorded word in all of the Bible. And yet we know about the heart of Joseph by his actions. We know this man because of how he responded. We assume his words are recorded somewhere here, but they're just not there. You know, he fades from the scene. And most scholars would tell us that Joseph was likely quite a bit older than Mary. It was quite common in that day. And when Jesus appears in public ministry, we certainly see Mary and Joseph in his childhood. We see them around infancy, around 2. We see them in Jerusalem at age 12. But when Jesus begins his public ministry around the age of 30, Joseph is nowhere to be found. The Bible never records anything else about him. And so most scholars assume that Joseph has probably passed away. You got to remember, 2,000 years ago, life expectancies were considerably shorter. So Joseph is off the scene. And one of the credits, I guess, for that, one of the things that would give us some proof to that is that at the crucifixion scene, Joseph does not appear. And Jesus tells his beloved disciple, John, behold thy mother. And behold thy son. So what he's basically saying is, hey, my buddy, John, take care of my mama for me. Something rather unnecessary where Joseph's still alive. And so what we do is we see just glimpses, just pictures of this man named Joseph. But these are powerful enough to paint a vivid picture for us. And so we know that Jesus is in the messianic line of David. He points that out. Matthew points that out for us perfectly in chapter 1. You can just look down through those names and you see Obed was begotten by Ruth and Boaz, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. And then Matthew, and many say Mary also, were in the line of David because Jesus would be from the tribe of Judah in the line of David. And men, if you're here today and God has blessed you with children, no matter how old they are, I want you to listen carefully to this word. But for the rest of you here today, whether you have a father who is still with us or whether he is passed away, I believe we need to hear what God says about being godly fathers. Certainly, as Jeff said, none are perfect except our Lord himself. And then some of you here today, maybe you've never known your earthly father. I want to encourage you today that you can rest in your heavenly Father and you can trust him no matter what your past has looked like because he holds your future. For some of us, today's a little bittersweet. Either because you have wanted kids of your own and not been able to have them, or because like myself and Cindy in the last 2 years, your father's already with Jesus now. And as much as you'd love to call him up, as much as you'd love to swing by and see him, you don't have that opportunity this year. Listen, you get one shot at this, guys. You get one go around. Give it your very best for the glory of God and the good of your family. Listen, listen, listen to what God is going to speak to you today. Because as God chose a father for his son, for many of us in this room, God chose us to be fathers as well. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word today. Normally you only hear this text in the context of Christmas. But this is a brilliant lesson on being a godly guy and being a godly man who would eventually become a great father. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, meaning obviously before they had intercourse, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, notice the language, her husband, it's interesting language, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded, he thought about putting her away secretly. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, or Jesus, the Lord saves, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that is the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did, look at that, guys, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. Now, he was already called her husband, but what is this all about? I'll explain in a moment. But he did not know her, meaning they did not sleep together. That's why we not only say a virginal conception, but a virgin birth. See, Mary was both virgin at conception and even still at birth. He did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he, because the daddy's job was the naming of the baby, he called his name what the angel asked him to call him, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this account of this man, Joseph. We hear so little about him, and yet he held such a prominent place in the life of our Lord. Let us look to the scriptures and listen to the Spirit, and then not only be hearers, but doers of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. So three significant characteristics this morning, guys. Get those grace notes ready. We are ordering more notebooks. Thank you for buying those. We did sell out, and we will get some more in. But we're going to look at some characteristics of this man that God chose to be the earthly father of Jesus. First, God chose a man who was restrained. Jot that word down, restrained, held back, if you will. You know, I don't think I've ever in my life heard anybody preach a specific message on Joseph. Until God had convicted me to study this, I've heard Joseph in Christmas stories. I've heard Joseph when Mary and Joseph went back to get Jesus in Jerusalem when he was 12. But I don't think I've ever heard stories of just Joseph. But I believe that it is so significant that God chose Mary to be the one who would give birth to the Son of God. And in his mighty providence and sovereignty, God likewise chose Joseph to be the father that would raise his son. Now, guys, imagine for a moment. Imagine you had to go away. Imagine you weren't going to be hands-on and your wife was pregnant. Imagine you were tasked with finding a man who would raise your kid. Imagine that kind of pressure. But God the Father, in choosing Mary, likewise chose Joseph because Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And it's imperative to understand Jewish betrothal. Back in that day, parents would often get together and family members, and they would make contracts. I always thought it was a little weird because there are lots of countries in the world that still do this today where parents choose spouses for their kids. But now that my kids are older, I'm starting to kind of like that concept, you know. We get to choose. It's good. And we would have chosen Parker. Oh, okay. So look. We get to choose, right? But in that day, betrothal was just as though you were married. This is why the Bible says in 19 that Joseph, her husband, they were even called husband and wife. But betrothal was a waiting period. It was typically a one-year period in which time the purity, especially of the woman, was put on test. If you were not pure, obviously, this is long before birth control, so if you're not pure, if anything happens in that year, then the husband has an option to do something very, very radical. In fact, they were still living under this Mosaic law at this time. And I want you to, although they, again, let me reiterate one thing. They were just as good as married, and to be out of a betrothal, you had to go through a formal divorce process. I didn't mention that, but you need to understand. So physical union's not taking place. Consummation of the marriage will not happen until the marriage feast, the ceremony, often multi-day, where the marriage would be consummated. But up until that time, they were to live separately, be separate, they could communicate. But if the bride was found to be with child, as the Bible says Mary was found with child before they came together, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 22, 23, and 24, if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city. The gate, simply because that's where the judges sat. Think about the town leaders, the judges of the community. And then it says, if you find them, bring them to the gate and stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she didn't cry out in the city, meaning she wasn't raped, she consented to this sexual act. And then it says, the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife. And so, Israel, you shall put this evil away from you. So the law of God said, if you cheated on your, we would say future spouse, they would say spouse, if you cheated in that period of betrothal period, it was worthy of death. But Joseph is a remarkable man. Now, we devote a great deal of attention to Mary, and rightly so. Protestants, non-Catholics, should not be deterred from giving Mary her due. She was a remarkable person. We simply don't worship or venerate her. Remember that she was chosen to be the vessel through which God in flesh would come into this world. But we also remember God chose Joseph. He made no mistake in choosing either. I want you to think about this. Had Joseph been an unrestrained hothead of a man, he could have easily said, what? I mean, we don't know how the word came to him at first. We really don't know. But it says, before they came together, it was found out. See, this is before the angel. Sometimes we read this text so quickly we think, well, Joseph heard, he fell asleep, angel spoke. No. I'm sure there's a period of time here. You say, how do you know there's a period of time? Because the Bible says that he thought about this. He put this to mind. He minded to put her away secretly. He didn't want to make a public example of her. He had every right to bring her to the gate. The Bible said he could bring her out. Now, Jesus, of course, would have issue with this later, but the Bible said he could bring her out and he could have her stoned, and then they'd go looking for the guy. Of course, they were going to have trouble finding the guy because of the Holy Spirit, but he had every right to make her public and to make this a scandal where she would absolutely never get married, but Joseph didn't do it. His love for Mary was demonstrated not by recorded words, but by recorded actions. Now, guys, I want you to jot this down. Would you do this? Men who genuinely and faithfully love their wives are well on their way to becoming great godly fathers. Great godly fathers. I'm not saying that's all it takes, is love your wife and you're guaranteed to be a great dad. But I'm telling you, you'll never be a great dad without the first. You must start with loving your wives as Christ loved the church and giving himself for her. You're not going to be a father God wants you to be unless you do that. I grew up in a home where I watched my dad genuinely love his wife, my mom, where he genuinely would have done absolutely anything for her. And while, of course, no couple gets along all the time and is perfect, there was a love that was inevitable there, even when they were mad at one another. And I watched my mom later in life as she took care of my dad in his final years as Alzheimer's stripped pieces of him away from us. I watched my mom's love in return. But in marriage, there are things that are going to get you. You know that. So fellas, to speak to you for a moment, when you get some bad news, when something comes at you and shocks you, you need to learn some restraint. I read about a couple. They were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary on the beaches of Montego Bay, Jamaica. Their tranquility had long been the talk of the town, and people would look at them and say, what a peaceful, loving couple. The local newspaper reporter, in fact, was inquiring as to the secret of this long, happy marriage. I mean, 50 years, that's nothing to sneeze at, right? So the husband said, well, it all dates back to our honeymoon. We visited the Grand Canyon in Arizona and took a trip to the bottom of the canyon by horse, and we hadn't gone too far when my wife's horse stumbled and almost fell, knocking her off. And So my wife just leaned over and whispered in the horse's ear, "That's once." We went a little further on down the canyon, and in her poor horse, Willie stumbled again. And my wife very quietly leaned over and whispered, "That's twice." We went a little ways further down the Grand Canyon, and sure enough, third time, my wife's horse nearly bucked her off as he went and slipped. And so my wife very quietly pulled a revolver from her purse and shot the horse and killed him. I said, "Woman, what in the world is wrong with you?" And she looked at me calmly and said, "That's once." We lived happily ever after. Ladies, look, don't try that. But fellas, can we please get real for a minute? Many of us need to learn restraint. It was the love of Joseph for Mary that restrained him. I mean, you think about it. You found the girl of your dreams. All is set up. Man, you're working hard in the carpentry shop to get things ready. You want to provide a nice home for her, and you're excited. You know she's a pure girl. She's a good girl, and you are ready to be her husband as she is ready to be your wife. And then, boom, the news hits you. She's pregnant. You don't know who it is, but you know who it isn't. You can rule yourself out. How do you feel in that moment? Don't wait for the revelation. The revelation's coming, but how do you feel in that moment? Guys, are you angry? Are you betrayed? It seems as though Joseph didn't have vengeance or bitterness in his heart. He thought thoroughly to put her away, to simply divorce her, is what that means, to divorce her quietly, no judge. You see, in order to have her stoned, you had to make it public. You had to bring it to the gate. You had to go, but no. Let's just, you know what? She'll go her way and I'll go mine. Probably one of my biggest challenges is this lack of restraint. Now listen, I can make excuses. Man, I'm ready to go. Let's go. I'm like Energizer Bunny. I'm type A personality. Man, I can't hold back. It's just who I am. It's how God wired me. Well, guys, God can rewire us because we need to learn, I need to learn to be more restrained. Sometimes things happen I don't like, can blow my top. Sometimes there's a lot of pressure with this kind of work. You may or may not know that, but sometimes things can add up, man. They can just boil over. And who do I take it out on most of the time? My wife and my kids, and they don't deserve it. Now, could I be the only man in this room who lacks restraint sometimes? I see you up there. Could I be? Could I be the only man, or could there be another papa in the room, another husband, another granddad, that maybe you know in your heart of hearts you can't keep it all together sometimes either? Am I the only one? I just doubt it. Ladies, don't look at your men. I just believe in all my heart, guys, that we can learn something from this fellow named Joseph. He stopped. He thought. Then God spoke. Then God had revelation. God chose a man who was restrained. God chose a man who was righteous. Did you see it? God chose a man who was righteous. The Bible says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, an upright man, a dikaios, a righteous man." That Greek literally means conforming to the standard will or character of God. Good, proper, fair, honest. These are descriptors of this Greek word. And a similar adjective is used way back in Genesis 6, verse 9. And it's in Hebrew, but it's a similar word. It talks about Noah. The Bible says Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. That doesn't mean without sin. It means mature. He was a mature guy, and he was just. I'm glad Noah was just, because God was searching the earth for anybody that was just to try to save humanity, and Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You wouldn't be here otherwise, nor would I. You see, men, just like Noah walked with God, just like it's obvious that Joseph is trying to walk with God as a just individual, it is absolutely imperative, guys, that we walk with God. We must walk with God. Because God chose Joseph to be the earthly father of his only begotten son, that is a tremendous responsibility. But I would remind you, gentlemen, if you have children today, God chose you too. It takes two. You were chosen by God to be a father, and God called Mary and Joseph. Now listen to me. This speaks to 2019. Pay attention to what's going on in our world today, where the world is saying a family can look like anything. Can be two of this or three of that, not in the eyes of God. If God wanted the most ideal family to bring his son into the world, and I think Father knows best, God knows what's right. He chose not only a lady, but he chose a man. And God used both husband and wife, both father and mother. Now listen. God didn't need Joseph for the physical act of conceiving Jesus. God chose Joseph for the act of raising Jesus. So what does that say to us in 2019? You can hear all the arguments in the world you want about marriage and family and gender and all of this craziness that's swirling, but God's plan and God's way is one man and one woman raising children for the glory of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Listen, we don't need to snap fingers of judgment and point to people and say, well, you dirty rotten this and that. Just come back to God's way. What is God's best? God showed us right here with the family of Jesus. One man, one woman. That is God's way. And even though Joseph wasn't the guy who conceived Jesus, Joseph was the guy who helped raise Jesus. The strongest kind of family is a biblical family. That's a point that we can learn today. Think about it. Heard about this little fella? He was playing on a Sunday morning while his dad was in the lounge chair reading the Sunday paper. The father said, son, hurry up now, get ready for Sunday school. The little boy said, well, dad, would you come today? Father said, no, I'm not coming, but now I want you to hurry up, go on and get ready. And the boy said, well, dad, did you used to go to Sunday school when you were a little boy? And the dad kind of perked up and he said, well, sure I went to Sunday school. The little fella turned around and mumbled to himself, yeah, and I bet it won't do me any good either. Hello? My father, as great a man as he was, he did not go to church with us when I was a little guy. My dad was a businessman, very busy. I mean, listen, anybody that's ever complained to me about being busy, I think about my father. Owning two companies, in fact, and being extraordinarily busy. But my mother gives the testimony. I don't remember this, so I'm taking my mother's testimony, that when I was about maybe 6, 7, or 8, I want to say it was in the range of about 7-ish, she always got me up and always took me to church. But my father didn't go. And so once my mother says, I ask my dad, Dad, why is it that only mamas and children go to church? And she said that God used that because my dad knew the Lord, but he had not been walking in faith at church. And so my mother says God used that to kind of get to my dad's heart. And all I can remember as a kid was always having my mom and dad beside of me in church. They were there the night I gave my heart to Jesus. They were there the next Sunday when I was baptized. They were there when God called me to preach. They were there when I have done so many things. But guys, it is so important that you are engaged, that you are walking. Now, I'm not telling you that just going to church makes you a righteous man, but I am telling you this, statistically, going to church really does show the world how your family is likely to turn out. Did you know that when a father is involved in faithful church attendance, his children have over a 90% chance of also being faithful to God through adulthood? But if the father is not involved, then the family's chances of being involved in church drops dramatically. And for those families whose dad has little to no involvement in the things of God, the children grow up and almost never continue a walk of faith, in church or otherwise. Guys, people are watching. The most important people. There's wide-eyed little youngsters who believe you're always right and their ears are always open and they're watching day and night. You're setting an example in everything you do for the little ones who are watching to grow up and be just like you. They are watching us, fellas. I was watching my dad, and I'm glad when I got a little age on me where I could really look back and remember my dad was with me and with my mama. Wives are watching, our children are watching, but most importantly, our Heavenly Father is watching. And God chose a man who was restrained, and God chose a man who was righteous. And I love this, fellas. God chose a man who was responsive. Responsive. The Bible says that he thought about this. He minded to put her away, but while he thought about these things, an angel appeared in a dream. He's laying down, man, he's exhausted from thinking through this stuff, and the angel says, hey, don't be afraid. This one conceived in the womb of Mary is done by the Holy Spirit, and we don't understand all the details of that, but basically the angel gives him two tasks. Trust God, trust that he's conceived of the Holy Spirit, so continue to take her as your wife, and when he's born, name him Jesus. He gives him two tasks. And the Bible says that when Joseph was aroused from sleep, verse 24, when he woke up, it doesn't say, man, what was I just dreaming? What was I thinking about? Oh, that's craziness. The Bible says he did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. He took Mary as his wife, and he named his boy Jesus, his firstborn, Jesus. Man, ladies, I appreciate you. But men, I'm gonna talk to you. Boys, it's time for some of us to wake up and do what God said. Or you say, well, Pastor, I understand you, but here's the thing now. I just never had God talk to me in a dream. If God would just be so clear as to speak to me through the angel in a dream, I'd do it. Hey, boys, we got something better. We don't need stinking dreams. We've got it in black and white or red and white right there. God wrote it down. You can read it and reread it. You see that, guys? Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, well, yeah, but I don't know. I need to hear the voice of God. And brother, read it out loud. That is the voice of God. I've prayed for years. God, give me the voice of Dr. Adrian Rogers. God, let me sound like James Earl Jones. I don't. I might sound a little squeaky at times, but when I read the word out loud, I'm reading the word of God. That's God breathed. That's better than a dream, man. A dream might be a bad hamburger today. Man, I'm telling y'all, guys, we get to wake up. What does it mean spiritually? To wake up spiritually means I receive the revelation of God and I act on the revelation of God. You follow that? He got a revelation from God through an angelic dream. For you and for me, we get the revelation of God through the Word of God. And then we respond to it. Hey, look, no questions. If I'm Joseph, I'm going, wait a minute, who is this Holy Spirit? Where does he live? I'm going to see him. I would have asked questions, man. I would have been confused. The Bible simply, and maybe Joseph was too, but it's not recorded. The Bible simply says, he did as the angel commanded him. He took to him his wife. He didn't touch her sexually. He did not know her. She was virginally, Jesus was virginally conceived and virginally born. Because he restrained himself. He was righteous. He didn't want anybody thinking, oh, yeah, that's just Joseph's boy. They got together later. It's impossible. Joseph said, I never touched her. And every other man in town said, I never touched her. But God had done it. And he was sensitive. Listen, God, don't be afraid of that word. I didn't say sissy, I said sensitive. He was sensitive to what God told him. He heard. He acted upon what he heard. You know, just jot this last thing down. Joseph's a great example of responsiveness, but Jesus is an even greater example. I mean, you think about Jesus always listened to and responded to his heavenly Father. That's a man's man, guys. You want to be a man's man, it's not how much stuff you kill. It's not how big the engine is on your motorcycle, man. It's not how you look. It is, are you being restrained when you need to be? Are you being righteous when you need to, well, you should be righteous all the time. Are you being responsive? That's the kind of guy God chose. And if you're a daddy today, or a grandfather today, or maybe a G-pa today, listen to me, God chose you too. Watch this little video, guys, and be blessed. We love you. We appreciate you.
Well, you didn't get into this dad thing just because of the pay, or because you love tater tots, or popsicles, or orange stuff. You didn't become a dad just because you love cars, or trucks, or street racing, or because you love architecture. You've had to learn some stuff along the way. How to do that diaper thing, how to use new tools, how to spin in circles, really spin, because you can't get enough of those smiles. You've learned how to slow down and smell the roses for 5 seconds. You've come to terms with giving up your personal space, and you know tired in a whole new way, even though your kids are never tired, ever. And you've probably learned how to ride one of these things. You've gotten pretty good at moving kids and stuff. You know the joys of running a 10-minute errand on a Saturday morning after 2 hours getting ready to go. And sure, you've messed up a few times, maybe rushed through some things, missed out on some teachable moments. That's why your kids need a heavenly father, too. And so do you. God chose you to be a dad, a provider to these little ones, someone that points to Jesus and says, hey, now that's love. So hats off to you, dads. You're making a difference. We're thankful for you. Now get out there and have a spin.
Hey, fellas, God didn't choose you or choose me to raise Jesus like Joseph did, but he chose us to raise our own kids to know Jesus. So the invitation today is very, very specific. Now, if you need to be saved, man, if you need to give your life to Christ, today is the day, now is the time. You come see a pastor, they'll take you and share the truth with you and love you. If you need to come back to God, today's the day of resurrender. If you need to join this church, man, there is no better day than now. I promise you, we're going to sing and preach and teach truth in this place. If you need to come just for prayer, you can come. But men, listen to me. I'm calling you out, fellas, because I love you, and I'm one of you, and I know this thing can be tough sometimes. We can all make a lot of excuses for how we act or react, but I'm asking you today to respond. If you're willing to just sort of recommit yourself, say, Lord, would you help me be more restrained? There are times I need it. Help me to slow down, because that's my big thing. Help me slow down to think. Help me to be more righteous. Not only to be more restrained, but to be more righteous. To be more straight, right with you. Help me to be more responsive. I know my wife and kids need something. Grandkids, fill in the blank. When I know, man, I'm going to act on it. When the Word of God convicts me over something, I need to respond. I need to act on it. Man, there's nothing more beautiful in my eyes than seeing someone saved or seeing an altar full, and particularly in a time like this, an altar full of men in a country that is trying to undercut what it even means to be a man. Guys, I say it's time for Christian men to man up, to be the men God called us to be, unashamed. I'm not talking some macho mumbo gumbo. I'm saying be the spiritual head of your home that your wife wants and needs. Be a leader for your wife and your children. Some of y'all, I'm just asking you, would you be willing, fellas? Young or old, you might not even be a daddy yet, but you'd pray that if God allowed you to be one day, you'd be that kind of guy. Young and old alike, fathers, grandfathers, if you're willing to come, when I say amen, that was so beautiful in the first service. I just, if you're willing, guys, just come to the altar. Just pray, God, let me be more restrained, righteous, responsive in your own words. And then ladies in their lives, or family members, kids in their lives, if you'd like to, just come and pray with them. Just come and lay a hand on them or hold their hand. You don't have to talk to them. Just pray, God, help my husband. Help this man to be this kind of guy that we've been talking about today. Make your commitment when I say amen. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the day. I pray, God, that it's time to respond and we would do so. I'm calling our men. I need mighty warriors for Jesus standing side by side, arm in arm, ready for battle because they're coming after our families. The issue is not so much sexuality. The issue is not so much gender. The issue is the family. Let us have godly homes, O Lord. Help us not only protect and provide, but lead spiritually for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.